live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 257. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. Man, we've got a lot going on right now. We're at the end of May, getting ready for June. We just got done with a very, very exciting Indianapolis 500. Myself and Jonathan will recap the Indianapolis 500. I was at the race, took the wife. So we were there, her first one. So that was that experience. A lot of fun there with that. We've got the NBA Finals. Finally, the NBA Finals are about to start, and my goodness, what a weird and crazy Eastern Conference Finals it was. So we'll dive into that, myself and John and I, talk about the recap, the Eastern Conference Finals, and then preview our NBA Finals that we have starting tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, actually 8:30. I forgot, they've changed the times now. It used to be 9 o'clock, and it'd be over super late each night. You'd have to bear through it, and work would suck the next day because you're tired as can be. But now they've got them starting at 8:30. People will find they finally, the powers of be have finally listened and are starting at least a half hour earlier now. So we're happy with that. So we'll talk that. We've got quick hitters, WWE Night of Champions, the NCAA baseball tournament. Folks, I don't know if you know this, but the state of Indiana is great at baseball. Not only do we have Indiana State, Indiana, and Ball State all in the NCAA tournament as well, the MLB draft is coming up next week or a couple weeks away, and we have the number one prospect is a high schooler down in Franklin Central, the number one prospect in MLB draft. So we'll talk that and more. We've got Zach Edey. We are on Zach Edey watch right now with Purdue. Is Edey going to stay in the draft? Is he going to go? We don't know yet. We're going to keep you posted tonight. If something drops, we will break the news here. I've had some sources tell me a few things. I've had sources tell me the other way. So I don't know really which to believe with that. But what I can tell you is we do have my co-host here, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, welcome back, my man. We had our Crossroad, the crossover show last week. Not a real show, but we are back and ready.
Hey, man, we got some – I mean, since you touched on that, man, we got some positive reviews back on that crossover show, man. So there might be more – of that coming for the folks I know who listen to tonight on the podcast. I mean, there'll be more of that coming, man. I just gotta twist Brandon's arm so we can get that all scheduled out. So like, no, man, it's good to be back tonight, talking a little sports, and talking late too. I'm saying I think we got a full schedule tonight, man, because I know not only did some of the things that you covered, but not only are we going to cover like you said WWE, you were actually at. And you were actually at, you know, some Indy 500, so I know we're going to cover that extensively. And I know we're going to cover the NBA playoffs and like I said, and the NBA draft, which is coming up in like 2 or 3 weeks as well, man. So I can't wait to chop into it, man. So what do you want to get into first, man?
Yeah, let's dive right into the association. John, the Nuggets have just been on coast since they swept the Lakers 4-0. It feels like it's been 3 weeks ago. So they're sitting chilling out. But before we go to the NBA Finals, I want to talk this weird, strange, and wacky Eastern Conference Finals that we just had where the Miami Heat were up 3-0, ready to close out, and then Boston decides to win three straight. The third game, the put back at the buzzer, which was unbelievable. I jumped out of bed that night, scared my wife and my dog when it happened.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't believe he tipped it in and had enough time to think, okay, it's Boston. Boston's got this. They're going to, you know, it's home game, Boston Garden. They're just going to go to the Eastern Conference or the NBA Finals like we all predicted, you know. He had a good run. John, they flat out just pissed the bed in that game. Game 7.
Yeah.
You could say Jason Tatum got hurt, which I've had people come at me, well, Jason Tatum got hurt in that game. Do you not know, have you not seen the Miami Heat injuries and what they've overcame?
Right.
So take that and throw it out. But, man, opportunity for Boston. They just sucked. Tatum getting hurt, then playing like trash.
Pretty bad.
Jaylen Brown not knowing how to dribble a basketball, which is elementary school style. What was your thoughts, John? You're a Boston fan-ish. You like the Celtics, the Green Boys. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, man, you can't say this wasn't their day, man. So because they never should have been down 3-0 until they put themselves in a game seven situation, man. They are, you know what I'm saying, they won the second most games in the whole league. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they were definitely a good team. So you can't say, hey, man, we can hang our hats on this being a seventh seed, they played an eighth seed. No, man, they overachieved. No, man, this is a team that they tweaked in the summertime. They brought in Malcolm Brogdon. You know what I'm saying? They made a change of head coach. We all kind of know that. But this our friend wasn't somebody they brought from the outside. He's somebody they brought from within. So,
right. So
again, you know, they're all kind of looking at right now as like excuses of like how and why they didn't beat the Miami Heat when they know they're the better team. The problem, Brandon, is we got to tip our hat to Miami. Tip our hat to Miami and to what Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and Coach Spoelstra. And the Martin twin, you know what I'm saying, who kind of bounced around. You have to tip your hat to what they've been able to put together. They find a way to bring out the worst parts in teams, and that's how they beat them. They gave Boston a false sense of, hey man, we can always get into it because we're the analytically best shooting 3-point team in the NBA. But like the shots didn't ever hit. So I'm like, man, you think about it, man. So like they foolhardy just let them keep on shooting, man. Like, you know, and they kept on breaking. Meanwhile, the best parts of what Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown do, like slashing to the bucket and dunking on people and hitting these crazy layoffs that we see throughout the regular season, we didn't see that. And you can't say, well, you know, they got an anchor like Mutombo down there because, you know, so those Bam Adebayo, he does, I think he's like 1.2 blocks per game or something to that degree. That's not like a human eraser. You know what right. I mean? He does get – they do have him – they found him in foul trouble throughout this series, man. But he was able to kind of stay on the floor because they need him. But, like, dude, like, what happened to going to the bucket and like, being the more aggressive team? Again, I think everybody – once the coaching changed, Brandon, I think everybody felt like they had to have the green light and be the hero. And you can only have one person be the – quote-unquote leader of the team, and because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's talent level is kind of close together, I think they conflict with that on court a lot. And they don't have a proper balance at all at point guard at all. Between Brown
well, I think
Smart,
Tatum also Tatum. Played very inconsistent for the entire
– Oh, yeah, he claimed it up too. He claimed it up too, absolutely.
Yeah, I think his inconsistency as well. When your leader, quote, and I'll put that in loose terms, quotes, when your leader is not having on games and, you know, that you have no role players. I mean, Max Strus, Caleb Martin, as much as I hate him, Fat Lowry, you know, these guys step up and play and score. You look at that bench, John, they've got Victor Oladipo. I know he's out, but they still have an Oladipo on that roster. They have a Tyler Hero that's going to get back into this rotation here, most likely for game three of the NBA Finals. But, Jimmy didn't shoot the ball well himself. The thing was, shows a championship team is you have the pieces around you step up when you can't do it. And the Heat did that more often than what Boston could do.
Right.
I also put this on the coach a little bit. I think too many people are giving us a pass to this coach. I don't think he coached proactively. I think he coached reactively. And I think he got exposed out there. I really do. Now they're going to keep him because it's a one and done type of thing.
He's a good coach, Brandon. Brandon, he's a good coach, man.
No,
No. Okay, trust me. I'm trusting.
He's one of those that's an assistant for – that should be an assistant for life. He's one of those.
All right, man.
They will not win the NBA championship with him there.
Well,
you ready for that one?
They won't win the NBA championship because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum need to figure it out. Whatever balance – they've been together 6 years now.
All right.
There's no more
another
excuses,
one?
Man.
They will not go to the NBA Finals with him as a head coach. Cut the tape. There you go. They ain't going to go, man. They don't trust in him. They can act like they trust in him. They don't trust in him. They don't. That body language off. Tatum and Brown, at least those two.
Okay. That's the possibility.
And Grant Williams. I mean, Grant Rams is pissed about his minutes.
I don't think Grant Williams is going to be there.
Well.
But what, yeah,
and why is that? Why is that, though?
Because
he's pissed at the coach.
Well, Grant Williams also thinks everybody got the green light. When you went to the finals, everybody feels like they got the green light. Who should really have the green light, Brandon? So, like, why did it have to take a last-second shot by the reserve guy? Again, no disrespect to him. He did a lot of, you know what I'm saying, coming up in San Antonio before he got traded to Boston. But, like, why did it take that? Where was Jason? If anybody goes look up Jason Tatum's stats for that game, for game six, for him to win that game, he shot horribly.
Yeah.
He shot horribly. You know what I mean? Yeah. So again, man, how did everybody get the green light? You go
because the coach is too scared. He doesn't want to piss anybody off. That's why. And that's why he didn't call anybody out when they played bad. That's all he said. That's why he kept taking the heat, because he doesn't want to call people. Man, the dude's got no backbone. I see it.
Well, it's hard to tell.
I listen to radio calling. I listen to them.
You said what now?
I said Boston radio was saying it. I was listening to Boston radio on.
Boston radio was. They were also happy about you know, saying game seven, and then the players turned out flat. But I kind of put it more so on the players though, also Brandon. And then what did they? I don't know. You can go into development. How many times did you think Al Horford was going to bail you out, Boston? You know what I mean?
Right.
He can't turn back time that many times for you. You know, so. I get the frustration, Brandon. If it was me and I'm the general manager, I'm Brad Stevens. We're gonna tell Jalen Brown, we love you. Here's your money. Sign it. Here you go. Udoka, what's our hand? Missoula. Hey man, here you go. You're gonna have to read Brad's book. How to get better. How to get to the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's go. And we're gonna run it back again. Now, if there's a failure to this degree. Next year, all right, we might have to tinker, but we run it back again. I think, because I don't think, Brandon, they probably stuck with Malcolm Brogdon, to be honest with you. So they're going to have to run it back again. I know, crazy. But Grant Williams is probably going to be playing with somebody else's team.
Yeah, I can see that.
His ego and asking price has gone too out of the Boston, what they want to pay for.
Yeah. It's like buddy, you haven't done anything really to – Earn.
You have some Draymond Green in you, but you're not Draymond Green on a night to night basis. Not even Draymond Green night to night basis. So like, how could you ask for Draymond Green type of money from the Boston Celtics, man?
Right. He's not even one of the third. Okay. So we have that. We've got the NBA finals now. We have the Miami Heat taking on Denver. Game one tomorrow night. Thank God they've changed it to 8:30 start times now instead of 9 o'clock, so people like you and me don't have to stay up till midnight for each game.
Goodness gracious.
First one's in Denver, John. I keep looking at everything. I just feel like at some point Miami's going to run out of gas, and the players that have been hitting are not going to hit. And at some point in this, we're going to see the eighth seed in the East come out of this. Like, we're going to see the what got them to this point is finally going to rear its head, I feel like. That being said, John, I wanted to come into tonight's show and tell you that it was going to – I strongly believe it'll be a 4-0 sweep by the Nuggets. I honestly think it's probably going to be a gentleman sweep, and it's going to be 4-1. This is over in five. Denver's winning it. Easily.
You said easily.
Easily.
I do believe in the running out of gas theory that you're implying to the Miami Heat. Because actually I thought this is what happened when they were getting, you know, until Boston showed that they don't, you know, whatever dysfunction they have going on. I thought that's what's gonna happen. But, like, no, they won't get swept, Brandon. They have a, like, let's not forget, man. Everything's not necessarily perfect. There's some holes. There's some holes to be pricked and, you know what I'm saying, I'm not saying Denver Swiss cheese. You know what I mean? When it comes to are they that porous when it comes to can they be scored on and all that? But
right.
I think you're gonna get a definite battle between Jimmy Butler and you know what I'm saying, all their guards and wing players. I definitely know Miami is going to challenge some of the guys they never been here before. Then that includes Jokic. You're talking about Spoelstra, who come from an old school, like, you know what I'm saying? They might, I'm not saying pull up Jokic is a foul shooter. I'm not saying he's a horrible foul shooter, but we might let you beat us from there. You know, there's going to be some chessmanship.
This might be a five foul night, five fouls each night for Kevin Love type of night.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's think about it. Can we get a turn back time game from Kevin Love where he gets the knees a little spry and he puts the challenge?
I feel like we saw a little bit, you know. I think we've seen a little bit from K-Love.
So I don't necessarily see no seven games, Brandon, because like you're saying, man, once they got a machine out there in Denver, like this is the scoring kind of comes from everywhere, and Jokic is passing and whipping passes behind his back in his ear, and then Jamal is mid range and gaming and killing it. Like, it's hard to kind of stop that kind of bleeding. We're probably going to see like one of those games where Miami's blown out by like 25 or 20, you know what I'm saying, 20 plus points, and then they kind of come back and they, you know, say they make it a little rougher. But I give Miami two games. I give Miami two games in this series.
And as I saw it, I heard it today on the radio, and I think it's most true. This team, this Miami team, they believe, though. They do believe. If the Heat fall, it's not going to be due to, like, the pressure of the NBA Finals. That's for sure not going to happen. I mean, they just walked into a snake pit, and they came out with new boots. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, against Boston. So they're going to come out and play hard. I think the first game, I think they stay in there for about 3.5 quarters before all hell breaks loose. And, you know, they got to stop. Here's what they really need to do. They need to let Jokic get his. Let him get his. You just got to stop Murray. I think you'd rather have Jokic score than deal with Murray than have Murray score and deal with Jokic. I think that's the only way you spell a recipe for a win.
I expect Miami to exhaust even the 21-year veteran fouls. You know what I'm saying? On Jokic. That's what I expect Miami to do.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. So, NBA Finals starting tomorrow. We're excited. I always like the old Jimmy Kimmels right before the game nights. Jimmy Kimmels before you go to your finals games. John, I kind of mentioned it to you, and we don't have to go deep into it. The controversy / no controversy with the NBA referee thing. If you want to talk about it, we can. If you don't, that's totally fine. I don't think there's smoke and there's fire from it, honestly. I think
It's just it's a slippery slope of thing, man. When you
it can get
out,
bad.
Yeah, because we all know referees are supposed to be impartial, and for the most part, even when we had the homie Tyler Ford, he came on, right?
Yeah,
he sounds super impartial. He sounds super impartial, but you also kind of get the feel when we talk to him that he's a fan of the game. But I don't think unless, and I get it, man, everybody wants to have a controversy like Donaghy, and no, but the NBA don't. You know what I'm saying? Right. And quite honestly, I don't think any of the referees that we have serving right now, man, do I think some of them want to be in the limelight and be known like a Joey Crawford or – give me another one, Brandon. I can't think of another right now, but Joey Crawford's the one everybody knows, you know what I'm saying? But, like, do they want to be known? But they don't want to be known
Scott
for
Foster.
Jacking up the game. Yeah. They don't want to be known for jacking up the game. They want to be known as – most of them want to be known as being, you know what I'm saying, and having a lot of integrity. So I don't know, Brandon, but when a referee takes the opportunity to try to, I get it, man. You feel like you got a backlash against like what people might say. two referees, but you can't say that as a referee because then they're going to be like, oh, of course you're going to guard yourself. You're going to say that you didn't make a bad call against whatever team. That's where the slippery slope comes in, man, because it looks like this homie made a burner account so that he could, like, defend his craft. But then he also likes or follows, like, different organizations because those are, like, he's a fan of. And like,
his family was wearing Celtics gear.
Yeah, that's
and
the slippery
and the Celtics are 12-3 in his last 15 games with him reffing.
They are good, though. Just remember that. So, but, man, that's a slippery slope that he kind of found himself in. It's still under investigation.
NBA draft talk real quick. John, you've been putting out on the Facebook page. If you haven't checked it out, go to our Crossroads Sports Facebook page, search for it. You've been putting out your draft selections, your mock 1.0, I believe it is, for where you see the draft kind of laying out. You know, we've seen news and notes from the Indiana Pacers that they are, you know, they're possibly interested in moving up into the draft, whether it be the number two position in the draft or whatnot. The Lakers are trying to do a sign-and-trade deal with D'Angelo Russell for Van Vliet, that possible connection, and working with some of the trade deals there or with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts? We're still 20-some days out from the draft, 3 weeks away. Obviously, we know Wembanyama is going number one. Any better feel with the Indiana Pacers? I know they've been working out guys. They got Cam Whitmore that's coming in on Friday to work out. They just had Leonard Miller from the G League Ignite today for a workout. Armon Franklin, there's a name for you, a shout out from the past.
Wow.
Came in and worked out. Jordan Miller.
Yep.
And then we got all these names coming in working out for Indiana. It's looking like a power forward. Cam Whitmore getting ready to come in. I think honestly the Pacers stay at seven unless they get a very, very intriguing deal. And I think they'd be happy with, like we said, with Whitmore or the guy from Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no. I know Decott, normal listener, is one of the Pacers is trying to move up to like potentially three, and I just don't necessarily think either. I know there's talk with Charlotte, but I just don't think Charlotte or even Portland it doesn't deal with the Pacers. I'm not saying they're a deal ain't to be made, but that's something to say. So like, what are you looking at?
Right.
You're looking at a number seven pick of a young guy that you can kind of bring in that you know can play basketball, that you know that's going to transcend into something. You've got to take the gamble and the risk on, like, bring him into your organization and to your culture. So at seven, Brandon, so I got the Pacers picking. If you can pull up or if anybody wants to go to the Pacers play, I got the Pacers picking a power forward center from UCF, Taylor Hendricks. Taylor Hendricks also might go a little higher than seven. He might also go five to Detroit. It kind of depends on the time. So, like, everybody, what did you just say? Cam Whitmore came in for a workout a couple of days ago or whatnot. Those are two names that Pacers are going to be flirting with if they stay at pick seven, which I think, like I said, I think you and I both, I think they stay there at pick seven. Taylor Hendricks, everybody should be going to the YouTube right now. Go look up, you know, his highlights from UCF. And see what kind of player he can play. Like, think about him and Miles kind of playing together. He's a defensive minded power forward, high energy guy with a nice little touch. In the mid range. You know what I'm saying? Damn, he sounds like Miles Turner. You know what I'm saying? He sounds like Miles Turner, but like it doesn't. I don't think he got too greedy. You know what I'm saying? They track threes in college a little different than they track 3-point shooting in NBA. But he's a decent outside shooter. And he's a decent 6'10" guy that can play some power forward. And the Pacers need help in defense. I know the Pacers need help in small forward or even, you know what I'm saying, even at a switchblade power forward. That's where Whitmore kind of comes in as well, the kid from Villanova. Brandon, who wouldn't want a kid from Villanova on your basketball team? When's the last time in the last 4 or 5 years a kid from Villanova went bust? Jalen Brunson is over here making Dallas Mavericks feel sick that they gave up on him. You know what I'm saying? A Villanova kid. Josh Hart, I know, You know what I'm saying? He's well-traveled, but, like, he's seemingly on well-traveled teams that always win. He played on last team. He played for Portland. This now he played for the Knicks. The Knicks played in the playoffs. They was damn near making, if you follow the Knicks on Twitter, they was making Josh Hart moments for damn near like John Starks. They was pulling video like that. Like, Josh, look at Josh, he just dunked. I'm like, come on, man. Slow down, man. Let's get the moments together first. Let's get the winning first, man, before we get the moments out there, bro. I'm like, no, man, another Villanova kid in the NBA, man, why wouldn't you want that on your team? You know, so, like, those are the kind of guys that's going to be, like, they're going to be floating around. Grady now, hey, man, the kid from Kansas, Grady Dick, can shoot the lights out. But, like, the Pacers don't have a problem in scoring, do we? We got a problem, you know what I'm saying, getting other teams to score. So I it would be a little bit of a reach to pick Grady Dick at seven at from Kansas for me.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, like
those
that.
Are kind of names that those are kind of names that are going to be kind of bantied about the last couple weeks, man. Taylor Hendricks, Grady Dick, even Jarris Walker, the kid from Houston, his name would be bantied about. But it kind of all figures out who I know for sure is going to probably pick the kid from UCF or Detroit. If Detroit picks Taylor Hendricks, guess what? We probably got Whitmore. You know what I'm saying? If they pick Whitmore, guess what? We probably got Taylor. That's how it's going to probably fall out. I like at least how I got it on my draft board.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's.
I know people. They
I like Whitmore. I like Hendricks. I'm not a fan of Grady Dick. I don't think that. Mm-hmm.
He's a shooter, though, man. He's going to be a good shooter, though.
It is. I just saw somebody do a jersey swap with Walker in the Pacers uniform, so I thought that was pretty funny there. But I thought I just saw. Looking for it. Somebody from Houston just went back to school and did not declare. Just came out of the draft.
I know it wasn't Walker. It might have been Sasser. Because he kind of
Sasser, that's who it was.
Round.
Yeah, Sasser's coming
okay.
back.
Okay, he kind of tumbled into the second round.
Yeah.
Little streaky with a shot. Defensively, he's got it, man, but a little streaky with a shot. I still had him in the brain as a second-round pick, but that might not be, you know what I'm saying? Houston might have more money for you. That's what you bring on Zach Edey.
Right. I've got people worried, John, of Larry Bird getting back in the organization, but I don't think you need to worry about it. I think he's just there to scout the town a little bit, give his word of advice, maybe collect a paycheck here or two, and then that's it.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, he's already kind of been around, man. Maybe this is. I think you know, saying as this is just him trying to make it out open in public, you know. But pick seven, man, it can be crucial, man. This pick can be so like if listen. What if? Do you really want to look at? I know you haven't, Brandon. I'm not picking on you, man. Go look at one of the Thompson twins. Like, these kids are super athletic and dynamic. They can be. But I don't necessarily know, do they have a winner's mentality? I think they got like a, hey, man, let me show you what I can do mentality. They're just not as goofy. I'll be honest with you, Brandon. They're not as goofy as the Ball Brothers, okay? But that's kind of like, do you want to have that on your team? Can you cultivate that? You know what I mean? Because you kind of got to have a little bit of edge. Right on winning teams, they all have edge, man. But like those will be some guys that if they fall, let's say I got Amen Thompson going pick four, no worse. But it's possible that somebody you know what I'm saying stretches and says, you know what, we can't say no to Whitmore or Thompson in one of those, and Amen Thompson like falls, and the Pacers are trying to pick him or his brother. His brother might be there. His brother. And both of them like super athletic, Brandon. But both of them have holes in their game. Either like one of them can shoot real good, and one of them can't shoot worth a lick. But both of them can pass incredibly. And if you're talking about finishing all your left with the left hand dunk, if you're talking about finishing with the right hand dunk, they got you. So think about some Barbosas, some young talented Barbosas, but like 19 years old, man. So that's what you could potentially have on your team if they fall. I don't think they will. But I think the Pacers are looking at at least when we broke it down coming out of the season, they're looking for young talent, but like young mature talent. And that would be the risk if you're looking at somebody like one of those two kids. Again, Larry Bird might put some calm in the building when it comes to that. If he has to make those, when you got to make that kind of call.
Okay. man, Scottie Pippen just dragging Michael Jordan again. Didn't we already do this? Man, you got more to say?
It's funny, man. They showed the last song, The Last Dance, the Lakers got swept. All the Bulls fans was giddy, Brandon, when they showed The Last Dance. They was. And then the very next day, Scottie Pippen comes out here and says Michael Jordan was a bad player. That's his opinion, man.
What's the definition of bad player?
He said he was a ball hog and they didn't win.
Well, no shit. He was a ball hog. We all know that.
That's not breaking news. Hey, man, from that particular, that's what Scottie Pippen said, man. They're going to have a sit down, man. A la, you know, say Shaq and Kobe. They need to have it, man. But
Bill Winnington's going to bring them together?
Bill Winnington? Lord have mercy. Luke Longley? Sure.
Hey, I actually started rewatching. Last two nights ago, just because there's no NBA on right now, I just started rewatching The Last Dance, so I'm already through fourth episode again. I haven't watched it since 2020 during the COVID time, so checking it out again.
Haven't even thought about watching it, to be honest with you, man.
Well, you got to do something, man. There's no basketball on for how many days. It could have been worse, but... UCLA junior wing Jalen Clark has elected to stay in the 2023 NBA draft. So Jalen Clark staying in the draft. Oscar Tshiebwe a little bit ago as well, staying in the draft, leaving Kentucky. Tshiebwe, is that somebody you can see Indiana trying to go out and get, or is it not fall close to one of their picks?
Solid second rounder.
Really? Second round.
Oscar Tshiebwe?
Yeah. What's wrong with his game to keep him from being a first rounder?
I dare him to shoot. I dare him. Go for it. Outside of 15 feet. I dare him. But he got a good motor, man. Can he move laterally? We have never seen that in space defensively.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, what's the little guy? He moves around a lot. He plays for Philadelphia now. He's played for Milwaukee. He played for Houston. They won a championship in Milwaukee. He's a floor spreader. But he's like, he goes about 6'8". Man, I cannot remember that guy's name right now. But he plays for Philadelphia right now.
Give me a second. I'll get a roster.
Yeah. But, like, man, you need a 6'8" floor spreader, a guy that you know is going to get you 6 to 8 good rebounds. And can at least, like, if they put him on the wing, or in the corner, rather, that he can knock down a shot, man. And he can't do that. Oscar Tshiebwe, stop it.
He said 6'8"?
Uh-huh. Yeah, man. He should be, well-traveled.
Montrezl Harrell?
No. Starter. Oh, with the Sixers.
Tobias Harris.
I mean, I can have my bingo. No, not to be. Give me a bench player. Played for Houston a long time ago.
Well, let me go through the roster real quick. I'll say all the last names. Deadman, Embiid, Harden, Harrell, Harris, House Jr., King, Korkmaz, Maxey, McClung, McDaniels, Melton, Milton, George Niang, Paul Reed, Jaden Springer, P.J. Tucker.
P.J. Tucker, man. There you go.
Oh, okay.
That's the last one. So, like, I get what y'all saying, man. Like, you know, saying, well, Tshiebwe plays center. You know what I'm saying? But he's like a 6'8" center. P.J. Tucker is like a small, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they got P.J., you know what I'm saying, going against the center. But he's definitely, you know what I'm saying, somebody, you know, that, like, Oscar Tshiebwe would have to play a role where he could be a floor stretcher, man. And though he's athletic, he doesn't really necessarily play above the rim at all. I'm not saying he can't dunk, but he doesn't play above the rim. So what does that translate? I don't have the rebounds in front of me. I don't think he rebounds at a high clip at the collegiate level.
Right.
So what does that translate at the NBA level, man? You know what I'm saying? It does it. Second round pick at best is where I could put him at.
I mean, this isn't sports related, but just a topic I have on here. Hey, man, Al Pacino, 83 years old. His girlfriend, who's 29, is pregnant. When this dude's child is 18 years old, he's going to be 101.
If he's here. I didn't know he had a 29-year-old. Damn, Al Pacino, that's crazy.
Yeah, 83, and she's or 82. He's 83. She's 29.
He got that great movie with Keanu Reeves, man, where he played the devil. That movie was great.
It just shows that your old age, you can still sling it. So,
damn.
There's hope for everybody. Hope for everybody. Who else there's hope for? You like that segue? Nick Nurse, John. Nick Nurse is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers coach. No more in Toronto. Got fired. Let go. Now he's going to be in Philly, taking on this James Harden / Joel Embiid / Maxey thing. Can he get farther with Philly than what Doc did with Philly? That's a hard time for me to get. I can't tell if they are or not. They would or not. I really can't.
I was kind of perplexed by it, but I listened to like a lot of fans. A lot of fans was like, man, we should have just kept Doc. But when I listen to like former players, I listen to players, whether they be collegiate or professional, and I pick their brain. Hey, man, what you think about Doc getting fired? It's like it had to happen, man. They're like, it's over, man. They don't listen to him no more. You can see it. They don't listen to no more. Now, here's what's crazy, man. He's going to come in. Doc just challenged them. Doc challenged them, and then the superstar player is like, man, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. All right. That's hurt. That's sickening gut punch. But, like, from a team standpoint, like, hey, man, this is the team rolling with.
Right.
That team is they believe in one another, believe it or not. They follow one another. I don't know how they're going to figure out that money that they owe James Harden, but, like, they want him. They want him back. Nick Nurse is here to like make it work. Nick Nurse is here to probably run a more. Here's what's crazy. Nick Nurse is a offensively better fit. Like he's an offensively minded better coach than Doc Rivers, but he's still asking for the same defensive intensity. So I don't understand how it's going to work. They needed James Harden to show up. Like, dude, like, we need you to show up. Like, you gave us 240 burgers, bro. Thank you. But we needed three. You didn't show up. You didn't show up none at home. That didn't make sense. Like, he's like, it doesn't make sense. They got Nick Nurse to, like, patchwork up some of this so they can, it can make sense, man.
Yeah, I feel like it was a lateral move.
It is.
Sorry. I mean, it's just.
But now it's a different voice challenging you in a different way. And he's probably going to placate more to James Harden if James Harden's still there. Because he's still got a big toe out of town. But if James Harden, they're going to run pick and roll crazy. And there probably might be a change in some of that roster that you just called out, like P.J. Tucker and he might not be there. Or some of these other, like, heck, even I can't see Maxey not being there, but that's potential too. But Philadelphia, not for Philadelphia to take over Brandon Mark this one afterwards, man. Philadelphia takes, like, you know, we can sell that to Philadelphia fans right now. But like their biggest thing right now is, man, if I get Nick Nurse, you have some stability, right? You say lateral move, it is lateral, but it's stability and coach. But like, what's gonna happen with Joel Embiid? Are you gonna commit? This is your team, man. James Harden gonna flip the flounder wherever he go. It's your team, man. What you gonna do? And Joel Embiid didn't show up in Game 7 his damn self. But Nick Nurse, there you go, man. Roll it out. He didn't.
Okay. Okay.
I hope him and Jason Tatum don't start making phone conversations like off the
field. Harden.
No, Jason Tatum and Joel Embiid. You know they're buddies, right?
Oh, he'll be a Philly.
No, either way around, don't you think? They ship out Joel, wouldn't they?
No.
Another show for another time.
They've worked too hard for that, I feel like. The Pistons.
Right.
looking at offering Monty Williams $50 million over 5 years to be their new head coach.
He turned it down, man.
No, he didn't. It's still out there.
It's still out there? Turned it down, man. The ownership, nah. I don't know, man.
He turned down Milwaukee.
Monty Williams, man? Are you sure?
Yes.
I thought he turned down Detroit.
I don't think so.
Milwaukee has a coach now. Brandon, you got it. He turned down Detroit, buddy.
Yeah, this was 4 years. This was less than 4 hours ago. Offered him they're making a reported made to make him another strong offer to be their next head coach.
Detroit.
Yes, Detroit Pistons. Pistons are pursuing former Suns coach Monty Williams with a, quote, significant offer. This is 5 hours ago from the Detroit News.
Okay, well, literally, like, last week, he had told him no. But, like,
but
man,
money
I,
talks,
I,
baby. Money talks.
Right, you're right. You're right. Because the owner has said he had talked today. I guess the Detroit Pistons had brought in Elvin Campbell and some other candidates.
Elvin
and he wasn't
Campbell.
Impressed with him. Yeah, he wasn't impressed with him. And then I saw the owner talk to, like, the local news, man. Hell, I wasn't impressed with the owner. He looked like, man, he looked like he had been roll hard, put away wet.
I'm not impressed with Adrian Griffin.
Like, you know what, Brandon? Here's what I'll say, man. I guess.
That's a downgrade.
I mean, listen, man. We're going to see, man, what we're going to see.
Sorry.
But I don't know, man. It looks like Giannis is on his way out of town.
Lakers.
I didn't say Lakers. I said on his way out of town.
He's going to go to the Clippers. That's what it'll be. All right, John, we're going to take a quick ad read. We come back from the ad read. We're going to dive into the Indy 500 review, and we'll kind of go through that. I'll kind of go through the process I thought of the race, things like that. We'll do all that and more as soon as we come back from our ad break. And going into our ad break, I have to play Bobby Heenan. Has always been one of my favorites, John. He's always been a favorite of mine. And going out to this little commercial break here, I got to play one of my favorite quotes from Bobby the Brain Heenan. So we'll be back after these messages.
You know, if you want to be fair to player, you've got to be fair. That's a heck of a row. Only a man is fair is fair. When Shaw said WrestleMania.
Will you stop?
What are you talking? Yell at me.
Crossroads Sports would like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic or commercial, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 877-744-6212 to set up your delivery. Thanks, Wiseman.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups and deliveries and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
This is Coach Chris Artis, and you're listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio.
All right, John, and we are back. And if you want to be fair to Flair, you have to be fair to say that's a good looking robe that he always had on. Always,
man. Obviously, man, you want to talk a little WWE, man. Night of Champions, dude.
Yeah, let's dive into that real quick before we get to the Indy 500. Overall, Seth Rollins winning the World Heavyweight Title. I'm fine with that. I thought it was a great match.
Right.
Once again, I will say the move of the night was the tag match and the ongoing ongoing bloodline storyline that just continues to produce,
to produce.
John, I can't get enough of it. I've watched it so many times. Your thoughts on the bloodlines implosion that we're seeing.
I know we're going to lose our mind. I know you're going to lose your mind when we talk about 8500, but, like, hey, man, listen. I'm so down on wrestling as a culture, man, because there's nothing that I haven't seen that, like, right now, between the WWE product and AEW, like, it's like, okay, I can get into it, like, more than just two nights, right? Don't get me started on AEW. It ain't about them, because this is about Night of Champions. They put a world title. It causes me all kinds of confusion, but, like, this is what it is. So the world title, the world champion, is Seth Rollins, right? But, like, what is Roman Reigns, Brandon? He got all the belts. He got all the belts. And he's on
all of them.
Belts. And here's what happened, y'all. So at a high point in the match, man, his cousins come down, the Usos come down. We already know. They get ready to super kick the hell out of, you know what I'm saying, somebody. They get ready to super kick. Like, and, like, it, for one, it's kind of crazy to me, man. Like, usually they use that, they kind of leave that spot, a big spot like that or a turn like that for, like, American soil, right? Correct me if
right.
I'm wrong. Like, man, like, you know what I'm saying, nobody ever, like, man, you
right.
pull stuff like that. So, like, the Usos super kick, they miss their initial, their, you know what I'm saying, the initial point. Who
hit
who,
Solo.
Who was it?
Jimmy.
Yeah, and
hit Jimmy
Solo.
Hit Solo.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Well, they both hit Solo.
Who was in the ring though?
Jimmy and Jay were both in there, and they super kicked Solo, knocked him down.
No, they were trying to super. Who they were trying to super kick though?
They were trying to super kick Owens.
Okay, yeah, they were trying to super kick Kevin Owens. He ducks out. Of course, man. Anybody listening is like, man, that's how it is all the time. No, man, this is critical, man, because the Usos is tight. Like, there's no way that you would ever think, like, they would, like, so they kicked Solo, right?
Roman saw it and came in and said, what the hell's going on here? And,
what you're thinking is you're happening is you're thinking they're going to win the tag team title.
Right.
That's
and then I'm Roman's going to have all the belts.
So, okay, so it's fine. Now you see it's going to be like a no, like, how do we figure out, get out of this match? And then... They kicked Roman.
Jimmy said just super kicked Roman right in the face, and I'll put the pop up there. Rumble pop when Sammy hit the chair, but still I went back and played the Rumble one. It's still the loudest pop, so much louder. And then he looked at him and says, I'm gonna do what you should have done a long time ago. And then he super kicked him again. Which if you think back though, John, because I went back and I love YouTube because right now somebody has pieced all together the entire storyline for the Bloodline from the beginning to the end. It's like 7 hours long. Every moment from Raw, from SmackDown, from pay-per-views, all spliced in, interviews, all spliced in from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was he told him you should have done this a long time ago, but Jay did that a long time ago. That's what got him in his world title match. And
right.
It was Jimmy who said, no, no, no. So I didn't like that line. You should have done this a long. You should have done this a long time ago. I'm going to do it for you. Like he tried to do that already.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, Paul Heyman's reaction, his facial reaction during it, the fans just exploding, and Michael Cole just going, "Oh my God, I can't wait for Friday Night SmackDown to see where this is going to go."
What is this like? It was like at 1:30 our time because
Saturday afternoon.
So like, hey man, I know things get kooky with people. Like, I'm not telling anybody to jump on Peacock right now. I'm a subscriber of Peacock. I got effed over on the 500, which we're gonna segue into. I didn't get to watch the 500 on Peacock. I know some people got underneath the radar. How does that work, Brandon? Like, I even took it off my what's your name? You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm saying, go watch it on Peacock. Go watch the rebroadcast on Peacock of Night of the Champions. And from now I'm kind of locked into like all WWE programming. When at one point I was, I even liked Bianca Belair. She lost to Azuka, but like that was even a great match. There was,
right.
It was but Night of Champions had a bunch of great matches, and like that turn had me that turn of the Uso brothers training on Roman Reigns was incredible. And like, there's gonna be another kick. You know they're gonna kick him again, right? They're gonna kick him again.
I can't wait till Solo. You know they're building up Solo.
It's gonna force The Rock to come back.
You think so? I don't know. I don't know. I've tried to tell you that for months. You keep telling me no. So, but
now,
I think they're building up Solo.
He got to get over.
I think he will.
Everybody's over now.
Solo will be over if he gives that kick or that thumb to.
Kick it out.
They gave it to Roman Reigns.
They put the world title. All right, I'm going another direction. They put the world title on Seth to keep him around. Because if Seth leaves and like Seth has got Marvel in his ear, Brandon, it's getting ready to happen for him. You hear me? Marvel is getting ready to take Seth Rollins out of WWE for a little bit. Okay? But like, he still wants to be, he ain't fully into, like, what Rock and that type of money just yet with The Rock and John Cena got. But eventually, if you put your – with Marvel, all right, man, you and your wife can retire off that. You ain't got to take bumps. And y'all can just come back. You can do the Trish Stratus little unretirement match. You can have a – like, it'd be cool. But what I'm going to tell you, Brandon, they put the world title on him. The Usos going to take over. With that? Would this happen? That's take over, like and what? Brock had a good. I mean, Brock had a decent match, him and Cody, but like, who? What else could take over that? Right now, the WWE has right now. What else could take over that particular?
Nothing.
Like, that has to end. Nothing. So you keep Seth around because at least Seth likes to work with Roman because they're buddies. They came up and it makes sense with the story. But at some point, man, Marvin's going to make a sense of an offer he can't refuse, and he's going to tell WWE, hey, man, I got to go. But right now, man, because at some point, you're right, Brandon. I'm glad you said that. Now, you got me thinking. They got to get Solo over, but The Rock coming back, man. Not The Rock coming back. Can they get Solo over before WrestleMania of next year?
Yes, they absolutely can.
Then The Rock will come back.
Why would you need The Rock to come back if you get Solo over? Because Solo's been a singles guy this whole time. I think you can get, not saying he'd win the title, but I think you can get Solo would get a title match at like a Royal Rumble or a Elimination Chamber.
So wait a minute. Are the Usos good guys now, or are we still going to boo them?
That's a great question. I mean, they still tear Roman Reigns, and he's supposed to be a bad guy.
I like Bull Roman. Roman Reigns, I hate him. Man, I can't stand him. I don't like him like I did like Triple H. That's how good he is.
Mr. Part-Time. But he's only going to be at 11 events until we get closer to Survivor Series.
They do a deal where the family breaks up. Then the family gets back together because now we got to put the Usos get on. Like, the Usos, they didn't run tag team titles how many times, man? Like, you can't keep on putting tag titles on. At some point, they got to be single superstar. They get all them over, and then they have this big thing with Paul's out here, and everybody's over, and then boom. The Rock comes out like, nah, man, you ain't over to my crown. Come on, man, Brandon, you don't want to see that? Laying the smack is down?
I don't know. And what's he do? Give him a rock bottom?
Dude, yes, that would be awesome. That would be awesome if he came in a rock bottom.
Hey, man,
yes, that would be awesome.
you want to give your flower, any flowers to AEW's pay-per-view from Sunday night that I did not even know had one?
These fool asses trying to talk.
I didn't know they had one.
Hey, man, yeah, they had a super kick. What's their name? One of them brothers? What are they? The Jackson brothers? What are they? Who are they? I'm being for real, man. They love them. They fly around. They wear Nikes and things. But like, man, they hit John Moxley. That was the finish. And then an exploding Nike shot to the head. It flashed like a daggone firecracker.
Really?
It was ridiculous, man. Man, and then Jericho's back to eating fast food again, man. He ain't working out no more. He looks terrible. I don't know why anybody, like, they got another show coming on. The new show looks good, but, like, I'm not, why would you watch AEW? You don't know what's happening tonight. You don't know what's happening tomorrow. I think Tony Khan, I'm calling him out. He thought MJF was that far over that he could, like, why would I watch that show just for MJF? MJF is great on the mic. MJF ain't that great of a wrestler, and he got a terrible haircut. Hey man, we better get off wrestling, man. You cut that up and say, and I'm gonna send it to him. MJF got a terrible haircut.
We'll get into it. By the way, the Bordega has got a big match coming up. There's three of them now. I don't know where they got the third dude from, but the Bordega, they back. So
shout out to Papa Esco.
Yeah, he'll. You pissed him off last time we had him on. I thought he was going to give you the belly slam. The Indy 500.
We're getting closer and closer, man. We're going to see him. Man, tell us a little about the 500.
Indy 500, John. never mind. I just saw something. The Indy 500, great race. Joseph Newgarden got his very first win on his 12th try. How many times have we been talking Joseph Newgarden in the past? Joseph Newgarden's due. On my list, he was one that was I forget how I labeled it exactly. Overdue for a win, I think that's what I labeled it as for him. But I was excited for him. I had some money on him to win, and I won a big pool of money that was drawn out of a hat that I got. So that was huge for him. Wait a minute. He kind of ran up there the whole time. Pato O'Ward got in that big wreck in turn three where we were sitting. I liked him that he went for it. Marcus Ericsson was so close, John, to a back-to-back Indy 500 championship. We haven't had that since.
You said that on the crossover. Don't be surprised if he wins it. I know he got a little funky down the line for him on the red caution.
A lot of people are a little pissed off somewhat. He was pissed off that the amount of red flags we had, that it's turned into a NASCAR. You know, Doug Bowles, president of the Speedway, said, hey, you know, we're going to do 500 miles and that's it. No more than 500. They red flagged it three times. I am okay with the first two red flags because there was a lot to clean up. And then the other one was on the front stretch and you just don't want to end the race that way. There was still four or five laps to go. You could red flag that and be totally fine. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. What I'm not okay with, and, you know, it sets a bad precedent of, listen, if we go out there right now and we're coming straight out of the pits, no warm-up, straight to a green flag, that's a little dangerous. That's setting like, okay, everybody, just throw your car out there. Let's see what the hell you got. Either you're going to bring the car home or you're going to win or leave it out there. I think that could be a scary situation at some point. Trust me, I'm happy they did it just so I could win those bets and see Joseph win. But IndyCar's kind of putting themselves in a weird situation for the future that I don't know if they really want to have to deal with that. We had the tire that flew off of the big crash with Kirkwood that flew into the stands, which was wild in turn two. Damaged the lady's car. She's getting a new car from Penske. But that could have been some serious, serious issues there that would happen. But, you know, looking at it, Newgarden, Ericsson, Santino Ferrucci, the dude's had five top tens now in his first five Indy 500s, and he's only 25 years old. Racing for AJ Foyt Racing, finished third overall. I hate to say it, I know I like AJ Foyt Racing, but if one of these bigger teams goes after and gets him, he's going to go there. He'll definitely go there and he'll prosper. The problem why it didn't work the first time with these bigger teams was he was too immature. And he's admitted that. He admitted that this week that he was too immature. Now he's mature. If he keeps up what he's doing, he's going to sign himself another team. Alex Palou had the car, the pole sitter. He had the car to win up there with Ganassi, up there to win. And then the pits with VK coming out of the pits and he just spun his car out right into him, which was crazy. Took him out. But that just shows how long this race is. That happened on the first pit stop, and Alex Palou comes back and finishes fourth. Rossi finished in fifth. Scott Dixon had a bad wing vibration the first part of the race. That kind of took him out, any chance to win. So that was a little troublesome. Connor Daly, I thought, raced really well. Ryan Hunter Ray, 11th place. I thought he had a good run as well. Tony Kanaan's final race just didn't have it all to get up there, really. He was just kind of in the middle of the road the entire time. But, Romain Grosjean, I called it. The dude would crash, and the dude crashed again. That's all he does, the Indy 500, is crash the car. So, but I had some good conversations. I had some good conversations with some of the drivers on the Victory Banquet night over at the JW Marriott. So I had some good conversations with them. I thought it was a good race. 5 million people watched it on either NBC or Peacock. It was the 13th share, so it was the 13th largest viewing in the United States at that point. I don't know what attendance was. They were still finishing that number up. It was definitely over 315,000. There at the racetrack, but it felt good to be there. It was great. I took my wife. It was our first one. Watching it on TV and being there are two different things, and she really got caught up in the moment. She got emotional a couple times during the playing of taps, the military tribute, the national anthem with the flyover, the back home again, Indiana, with the second flyover that flew directly over. John, when I tell you that second flyover they did on back home again, Indiana, I thought that jet was going to smash right into the pagoda. That's how low he was.
Oh my God.
That's how low he was. The least clipped the flags, but just that. And it's wow. Such a great race. The pomp and circumstance. I get a little sad once the race starts because it's like, well, this is it. We're counting it down now. And we got to do this. So we got to wait 11 months to do it all over again for the entire month of May. So, but overall, I thought it was a great race. They're in Detroit this weekend. Race on Sunday at 3:00. We'll see what happens. Joseph Newgard has been making his rounds. His 12th start, first victory, obviously, like I said. There was 14 different drivers that led at least one lap in the race, which was 50 and 52 lead changes, so it was very competitive. It's only the third time the Indy 500 has been decided by a last lap pass. 2006, when Hornish passed Marco, Dan Weldon passed J.R. Hildebrand back in 2011, and then this one. So it's also the first Indy 500 with three red flags. Normally you get one or less. This one had three, so that's the controversy. Erickson wasn't too happy about it. Joseph Newgarden took a $3.2 million check home. Erickson can't be too bad. Marcus Erickson took a bigger paycheck home for second place this year than what he got for winning it last year, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, so, but you know them dudes, they be playing for history books up too, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I thought it was a great race overall. John, I know you said you couldn't watch. You were having some trouble watching it or whatnot, and I'm sure you caught highlights and all that stuff.
Yeah, I caught it with the highlights, man. It was good to watch definitely some of the highlights. See Ray Hall, he finished. I know, you know, he had to get into a whole new car.
What a tough start for him.
Right. So he finished like 22nd. Just for me, Brandon, what I took from it is the after effects. Like you said, Tony Kanaan didn't necessarily have a great race at all, but like, man, he just kind of poured it out. You know, support out most of the kid out of the car, but like the after and like the engaging the media, you know what I'm saying? He's kind of just like, hey man, he loves this race, and he loves Indianapolis, and like, man, it's gonna be a different, you know what I'm saying? I know we're gonna find somebody to love, you know what I'm saying? Next year we'll be wanting somebody to go back to back, you know what I'm saying? Again, next year or a past winner to see if they can get back up to the end and put their face on that Borg Warner trophy. But, like, man, it's going to be different to see Tony Kanaan not participate in the 500 as a racer next year. But like I said, man, there's a lot of video out there, man. He loves, you know what I'm saying, Indianapolis, and he loves that race.
Yeah, absolutely. So 11 months away from the next Indy 500, they come back in July for the road race, same weekend NASCAR's here, so. We'll see what happens with that, and yeah, we'll keep tabs with the Indy cars. They are Detroit this week, and then so the playoff or the championship chase is definitely on now. So we'll see, more to go on that.
I hate that thing.
Breaking news. Don't kill the messenger. It is 7.05 p.m. Eastern time here in Indianapolis, so if you're playing this back, we are just over 4 hours and 55 minutes away from midnight. We still do not have a Zach Edey decision yet. Still no decision. A lot of you thought they were playing that back, that breaking news sound, that we were going to get the, you were going to get it, you were going to hear it. Nothing yet. So we'll see. John, we'll talk it real quick. Zach Edey, your thoughts, does he stay in the draft? Does he come back? What do you think? What do you think he should do, and what do you think he will do?
I do believe he's going to get drafted. I don't believe he's going to get drafted in the first round. If you're not going to get drafted in the first round, which is guaranteed money, then you go back to school, which is guaranteed money. He needs to visit. But in his mind, he probably doesn't want to play college basketball anymore. And though he might not be able to make an NBA roster, he'll make a somebody's professional roster, if that makes sense. Zach Edey has a skill set. He's 7 foot tall. You can't teach that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If I can coin a phrase from an old WWE legend, he's 7 foot tall. And he can score in the post. His biggest challenge is being able to guard in space. I think he can play. When you think about some guys that have had slower movement, lateral movement, they have Taco Fall. Taco Fall played at least 3 seasons in the NBA. Boban is still logging minutes down in Dallas, but again, that's Zach Edey's biggest challenge is that, you know what I'm saying, NBA teams want to see more of him in space when he has to play a guy like, you know what I'm saying, so when teams go small, what does that look like? Can he get out there on pick and rolls? I think from what I know, from what I've seen, I think it's going to be sort of a challenge for him in that regard. Remember, what was that fool-ass Fairley Dickinson head coach? He ain't even with Fairley Dickinson no more. He said he knew how they could beat Purdue. And think about that game against Thurman. They pulled Zach Edey away from the basket. Zach Edey is a grim protector. That's for darn sure. Zach Edey is a go get the rebound guy. Do you think defense or offense rebounds? But like, if you pull a smaller person out there, player out there, that can stretch the floor, man. Zach Edey might have a hard time, you know what I'm saying, defending them. And that's what the NBA is about, like, you know what I'm saying, those matchups, man. So, but I think Zach Edey gets picked, man. It's just like what the number he wants to settle for, the number that's the second-round pick number or the number that Purdue got lined up for.
Yeah, what does he gain back by going back? Justin Fox, what does he gain by going back to school?
Probably me and $500.
I don't know if he can really improve. Like a guard, I could see improving a lot more during that next season than I would see a center improving.
Mm-hmm.
He just won, what, Naismith Player of the Year, had a great
Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah. Justin, let me tell you, there's guards who can't guard the perimeter in the NBA.
Yeah, but they can shoot. And, he can't. He's a liability in that regard as well.
He is. So, no news yet on him. I'm sure as the Epic Podcast, they have their show tonight. I'm sure it'll probably break news during that and not during ours. We've been good, though, on getting a lot of breaking news on our shows as of late. So maybe he'll get it here in the next 20 minutes before we get off the air. But if not, stay tuned to the Facebook. We'll post stuff on there on our Twitter page as well as soon as we get some updates. Listen, I thought if we failed, we should have Brandon Brantley work out a deal where he announces it on Crossroads. Think about the exposure. I mean, I probably would have to slip him a couple hundos to make it happen with Edey. Say, hey, Edey, here's a couple $100. Announce it with us. So, but
hey, man, speaking of alumni, man, I'm trying to get Cash Beller to come on. I reached out. We actually said his name wrong on the Crossover show, man. I think we said Cash Miller, man. No, actually, I probably had too many Millers that day before the show. But his name is Cash Beller, man. We're probably gonna try to get him on. I reached out to Ball State Golf and Coach Mike Fleck about you know what I'm saying. Of course, we still got to get up here. We still got to get to our Mecca journey.
Yeah, I was going
to
tell you, look at your calendar in two Saturdays from now. Let's try to see if something
works. Yeah, we still got to get up there. But, like, man, as far as, like, shining a light on program, getting a player from their program, Cash Beller, I'm looking for it to happen in the next 2 to 3 episodes that we're on, man. But, like, no, I just wanted to shout them out as well before we get off on this podcast.
Yeah. John, who knew college baseball is so good here in the state of Indiana? Who knew? We have three teams in the NCAA tournament. Working their way through regionals and hopefully to a College World Series. We've got Ball State and Indiana both playing in the Lexington Regional, which, to be honest, they should not even have had it down there. It's a travesty that they're having to play in Kentucky, Lexington, where everything else, there's so many other events going on down there. They don't have enough hotel rooms for fans or even the team. So they're having the team stay in dorms on campus, which is ridiculous to me. To hear that. But Ball State, Indiana, both in Kentucky. Ball State plays Kentucky Friday. John, if you want to put a little change on it for Ball State, they're 600-1. Odds are 600-1 for them to win the College World Series. And it's even less for them to win the 120-1 to win the regional. Indiana, 200-1, 39-1. Indiana State, the Sycamores are hosting, John. They're the number one seed in their region, the Fighting Trees, 101 to win the College World Series. They're not even the favorite for their regional either. So, but wow. We got three teams all in there, John. Thoughts on Ball State, IU, and Indiana State representing the state here?
I definitely don't want to say Ball State is the anomaly. But as like last year, maybe they haven't necessarily been in this situation. They had to put themselves in this position, they had to beat Kent State. And Kent State was tough out than themselves, you know what I'm saying? I think the final score was like 14-12, something like that. Our guy had to hit we're going to try to get him on too. He had to hit a grand slam home run to win the game. Man, so Ball State is pretty much on a magical run. What I do know of Indiana State, and shame on me, I remember reaching out to them last year because they had some success. tell people about, hey man, this is Brandon Reeve and Donovan Berton, and they don't necessarily know who Brandon Reeve, like in the 317, like we're undeniable, right? You had to get on the highway, you know what I mean? You know, people got a little bit, it'd probably be a different conversation right now, right? But again, Indiana State has a great quality baseball program. They've had for years. It's like what people and like what media attention kind of gets down there because Indiana is primarily a basketball, football school, you know what I'm saying, probably, you know what I'm saying, focused, you know what I'm saying, fan focused. But like, Indiana State is not surprised that they are here, man. So like, the three teams, that's even more time to like enjoy the summer, man. But let me ask you this, Brandon, because now you said it a little bit yourself, man. Once the race starts and you know it's going to be over in a couple of hours, Brandon, the Pacers ain't deep into the playoffs. We talking draft.
Pacers and Racers back in the day.
Yeah. So, like, there's no more. Wouldn't it be great to hear some squeaking? I know you share some stuff on the Facebook page, man, as I did on the Instagram page. Remember, ain't one of this is like the Memorial Day. It might be the day or when it was yesterday when Rick Smith hit that fadeaway.
Yeah.
Not a fadeaway, but hit that floater.
Memorial Day miracle.
Orlando. Yeah. Right, Rick Smith. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the Pacers got to get back to that. The great times of May when Pacers had that magical, most magical. Or when they win, there's another one. The 29th was when Reggie Miller hit that shot against the Bulls, I thought. It might have been the
29th. The push-off on Jordan?
Well, listen, they didn't call Michael Jordan push-offs.
Oh.
They didn't call Michael Jordan push-offs. So, why are we going to call Reggie right there?
Also, I just got called out, and I forgot to mention it. University of Indianapolis. Their baseball team needs to be mentioned as well. Yeah, they're in the Division II World Series, so they've made a hell of a run in the postseason. UIndy, shout out to them. They're going to the Division II World Series. So add another baseball team.
Let's go. Hang our hat.
So, yeah, exactly right.
Hell.
I think what we're both in agreement here. Denver game one, easy win.
Man, I think they're gonna win that game by at least 20-25 points.
Oh.
20-25 points, man.
25 points first game?
They ready to get this thing going, man.
Justin Fox, these are NBA players, man. They ain't going to get blown out by 25, are they? They're going to show up at least.
Do you know who's going to be at this game? The GOAT going to be at the game.
Carmelo?
He might be at the game, but he retired. He immediately threw up a number 7 mix. I was like, man, come on.
Hey, Melo.
Did he forget about number 15? And what did he used to do with number 15?
You know what? They ain't going to retire his number because Jokic is the same number. So
Brandon,
he picked a side.
Tell
I'll
me
go
right
to,
now
I'll
who's
to,
the better Carmelo Anthony version, the Knicks or the Denver Nuggets version?
Ooh. Let me give me a second here. I think
anyway,
I know, but I think it's closer than –
To go back to this series, man, Denver Nuggets are chomping at the bit, man. I think they really want to get this, but the GOAT is going to be at the game. You know Peyton Manning is going to be at the game.
I'm going to say.
You know Shannon Sharpe is going to be at the game.
I'm going to say Carmelo with the Knicks.
Stop it.
Let me tell you. So he played 564 games for the Nuggets. He played 412 for the Knicks. Just one less season, okay?
Okay.
Field goal percentage was .4. He shot 36% both places all time.
Okay.
He was basically 8 of 19 is what his average was, 45%. His three-pointers, he was 37% behind the line for three with New York compared to 31% in Denver. He made one more free throw in Denver than he did in New York. Rebounds-wise, he rebounded more in New York. He had more steals in New York, and he had more assists in New York. And he averaged 24.8 points in Denver and 24.7 in New York, so 0.1 off from New York. So – I'm going to go New York. I think Melo had the better career in New York than he did in Denver, stats-wise.
Stat-wise.
Hey, John, that's one you got to put on Facebook. Put it on Facebook. Who was better? Put a little poll up there. Who was better? Melo.
We'll do it.
Now, we're counting him laying on the floor, right, as the game's going on. He's just laying there sprawled out. My favorite moment.
You love that moment, man.
I love it.
That's
love
horrible.
It. Besides that, the only other moment I love of Melo is when the Knicks are playing the P. Diddy, I'm Coming Home video, which he's coming out on the floor. Carmelo.
Again, more horrible moments from him.
Hey, man, LeBron, they're saying there's like a 10% chance. There's a word 10% chance he might either walk away from the game or just leave the Lakers in general. He's staying in L.A., people. He's staying with the Lakers. He ain't leaving. He ain't retiring either.
Until they put a basketball team on the Mars, he's not going nowhere else.
He's just wanting, like you said, they're just wanting to put pieces. He wants pieces around him. Right?
They need to get some trust.
Who wins the title before the career's over? Durant or LeBron?
LeBron James. Stop it. You don't even believe that. You want to ask me that? Give me yourself, man. Stop.
That's why I asked you. I didn't ask myself.
If the Lakers, who's gonna coach the Phoenix Suns? Michael Finley, Steve Nash.
Steve Nash is coaching Toronto, isn't he?
Cedric Ceballos. I'm gonna go down the list, man.
Rex Chapman.
Who's coaching the Phoenix Suns? Danny Ainge is GM in Utah. So like, who's coaching the Phoenix Suns?
Marley.
Right. At least what you know when you see the Lakers is they need to re-up in talent around LeBron. Wayman Tisdale, rest in peace, man.
He's dead? I didn't know he died.
Yeah, he died, man.
I got a Pacers I have a Wayman Tisdale Pacers jersey that I got from my uncle a long time ago when I was a little kid.
Really?
Wayman Tisdale Pacers jersey. It's in like a not a frame, but it's in
I
a
met him.
Yeah, it's in like not a trash bag, one of those garment bags. Hasn't seen the light probably in the last 15 years.
No, I met him when I had to be like I had to be like 12 years old. Whatever his last year here, he had come to a retreat. You know what I'm saying? Talking youth. You know what I'm saying? That's what he did, man. He was a cool guy. No, man, yeah. Wayne though, man. See, we put that one, put that one into the show too. But no, who's coaching the Phoenix Suns, man? We don't know. No, man, I think the Lakers got to stop that money, but stop. Oh.
Yeah. You like that.
He ain't dealing with that. Doc
Rivers?
He ain't dealing with that either. I don't know who is Matt Ishbia, but Matt Ishbia came in and laid waste to everything, traded out good players for Kevin Durant. You stuck with Kevin Durant now, buddy.
It's got to be Vogel. He's handled LeBron. They're gonna say, well, if you can handle LeBron, you can handle Durant. So, I think it's gonna be Frank Vogel be the next head coach of the Phoenix Suns.
You said Frank Vogel?
Frank Vogel.
If Frank Vogel ends up in Phoenix, man, we have to go live. I know it don't mean nobody else.
If he's not there, he needs to come here.
Oh, they're going to put everybody back. They're going to put the band back together?
Bring him back here, baby.
Larry Bird back. Crazy as hell. Larry Bird, man. Bring back the fallen son, Frank Vogel. I'm ready to make amends. Bring him back, man. That would be like, nah. Remember, they fired Frank Vogel on some BS.
They did. I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't happy at all.
They're going to bring back Paul George in?
I mean, I've forgiven him.
There you go.
I've forgiven him. John, I did find an article that got posted. I can't wait to hear you get pissed off at this. I've been waiting to give you this all day. This website, and I won't credit them because, why should I? They're not paying me. They gave out their Indiana Pacers all-time starting five.
Uh-oh.
At point guard, averaging 8 points a game with 3 rebounds, 8 assists. He played 405 games for the Pacers. Number 13, Mark Jackson. You all right with that? As your point guard?
She never got traded to Denver. He got traded to Denver for like half a season. That was the weirdest thing, man. And they brought it right back. But, yeah, man. Mark Jackson?
Shooting guard. We already know, average 18 points a game, 1,300 games played, Reggie Miller.
Locked. He's locked in.
Small forward. This is all time, by the way.
This is where it gets tricky.
Average 17 points a game, shot 51% from the field, had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He only played 354 games as a Pacer. Detlef Schrempf.
Wowzers. Wow.
Your starting small forward.
Deadlift Shrimp. Hey, man. I'm going to have D-Kyle and Reggie got to call in on that one because they probably like losing their mind. But, like, Deadlift Shrimp for your time, man. And, like, Deadlift Shrimp, it hurt Brandon when they traded him or they let him. Like,
Larry it wasn't way before my time. Shrimp. I was like six
Larry,
when he traded him.
Larry Brown didn't like Deadlift Shrimp. Fit for this team, and that's how he ended up in Seattle, and they traded for McKee.
Yeah,
Detlef
Schrempf as your starting small forward.
Hey man, he's putting work, man. He's the poor man's Chris Mullin.
At the power forward position, this guy averaged 18.9 points a game, shot 49% from the field, averaged almost ten rebounds. Only played 260 games for the Pacers. So he played less than Detlef. Clark Kellogg.
Nah. That ain't right. Who? What? Who's that center?
Center averaged 14 points a game, 6 rebounds, and played 867 games for the Blue and Gold. Lives right over here in Zionsville, Indiana. Rick Smits.
All right, that makes
No
so
Chuck Person. Honorable mention with Chuck Person. Paul
where's
George.
Jermaine O'Neal. Where's Jermaine O'Neal?
Paul George. Jermaine O'Neal.
Dale Davis. Come on now.
Detlef, which one are you more upset with, Detlef Shrimp or Clark Kellogg being
Clark Kellogg? That don't make no sense, man. Not over Jermaine O'Neal. Not over Dale Davis. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just making sure we ain't going crazy there.
The day Dale Davis got traded for Jermaine O'Neal, it hurt.
What about Mel Daniels?
You
see, here's my thing.
Like,
you get ABA in there.
Right.
Do you really count ABA
right.
players? It gets a little tricky,
they do,
right?
I
it's
do.
Muddied.
Yeah, it gets a little muddy. But,
right.
nah, man.
In
the NBA, that's what I said. NBA, if you say NBA numbers, if you go off NBA numbers, then Rick Smith is the center and Jermaine O'Neal is the power forward.
If you go off of ABA numbers, I think Mel Daniels is the best pacer of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three-time champion, two-time MVP, seven-time All-Star.
Yeah. Yeah, even bigger than Reggie Miller. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go all numbers, absolutely. Here's what, hey, Mark Jackson, we're doing enough for another. Mark Jackson better as a pacer or better as a Nick? I'm going to say a pacer.
Let me give you this. This is another website I had. Because you know I had to go off of one. I had to go off of two. Hoop Social. I'll give this one a shout out. Hoop Social.
I've been on that one before.
This is their all-time Indiana Pacers team. All-time. Starters at center, Mel Daniels. At power forward, Jermaine O'Neal.
Okay.
At small forward, Paul George. What'd you say?
No shade on that one either.
Shooting guard, Reggie Miller, and point guard, Freddie Lewis.
Yeah, man. Freddie Lewis, that's back in the day, man.
Your reserves?
That's crazy.
Your reserves are, your big reserve was Domantas Sabonis. No Roy Hibbert.
That hurts, man.
It does. Forward reserve was George McGinnis. Your wing reserve was Roger Brown. Your guard was Mark Jackson. Your utility players, Ron Artest, Danny Granger, Rick Smits, Victor Oladipo.
Wow.
Get ready.
Wow.
Get ready. Lance Stevenson.
Nah.
Chuck Person, Jalen Rose, and Malcolm Brogdon.
That wouldn't even mention Malcolm Brogdon when I not mention Austin Crozier.
Didn't make it. What about Big Smooth?
Wow.
And I'm not talking about Michael Rivera. I'm not talking about that Big Smooth. The other one.
You talking about Sam Perkins?
Yeah.
Nah, man. He was a better player for other teams, man. He was a fan favorite, though, for here for sure. But Sam Perkins.
I saw these articles and I cringed a little bit.
Malcolm Brogdon had different. Austin Crozier,
Detlef Shrimp, John.
Are they serious?
Detlef Shrimp,
Travis Carter.
I like Travis. Here's my thing about Travis Best. Travis Best, but as much as you love him, you hated him because sometimes he took the shittiest shot of all. But sometimes he took that shot and hit it. He hit a big shot there against the Bulls, but. In that game,
come
but
on,
I was a Travis Best
over
fan.
Malcolm Brogdon. T.J. Ford over Malcolm Brogdon. Darren Collison over Malcolm Brogdon.
No Chris Mullin?
Chris Mullin is a Golden State Warrior. We know that.
Okay. Last thing, John.
Because
we are starting the NBA Finals. I want you to name me. When the NBA Finals started in 2000, I want you to go through and name me as many as you can, that Pacers roster that was in the NBA Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. I've got it all in front of me here. I wanted to put a little test for you.
You want me to name it? We just named half the Pacers on there. Jalen Rose, Crozier, Mark Jackson, Reggie Miller.
Hold on. So we got Crozier.
Yep.
Okay. Mark Jackson, Reggie Miller.
Mark Jackson, Reggie Miller, Rick Smith.
Okay.
Dale Davis.
Okay.
Antonio.
No Antonio. Antonio Davis was not on that team.
Antonio went on there. He went on there because he left. He messed up. He, the L's, like, man.
I'll give you Travis Best because you already said that earlier. So you're at six guys right now.
Hold on. Who am I forgetting, man? Chris Mullin, Travis Smith,
yep.
Crozier, Jalen Rose. Was Vincent Askew on that team?
He was not.
Vincent, who else? They had another like wing player. That Kobe
there's a small, there's a starter, small forward you didn't have.
On the championship team, I said Rick Smith. I mean, I said Chris Mullin.
Lankier was in that trade.
Boy, all right, man, I'm done. Buzzer beater.
All right.
Hit me.
Yeah, your roster. You gave me Travis Best, Austin Crozier, Mark Jackson, Reggie Miller, Rick Smith, Dale Davis, Chris Mullins, and Jalen Rose. What you
yep.
did not give me, Jonathan Bender, he was a rookie. Jeff Foster, he was a rookie. Al Harrington. Here's the one I thought you'd give me. Derek McKee. Big Smooth, Sam Perkins. And this one I don't think actually played a single game, but Zan Tabak.
Zan Tabak, Zan Tabak, yeah, he ended up playing for Toronto and Houston.
That Pacers team
with Houston
was 56-26. They were fourth in scoring, 12th in defense. Their preseason odds was at a plus 1,000 to win the championship, so it would have been good money. So when their over-under was 47 wins, so they didn't give them much in odds, and they went out there and put 56 on the board. They killed that. So they beat the Bucks, and they went out and beat – if I remember right, John, when they beat the Bucks 3-2, it was game five that Reggie had to hit that big shot, or else they wouldn't have gone, if I remember right.
I think you're right.
Then they beat Philly 4-2. They beat the Knicks 4-2, and then Lavi lost to the Lakers. Hey, I was talking to somebody the other day. What's one non-Knicks type of highlight memory you have of Reggie Miller? And it can't be the Knicks or the Nets, because when Reggie hit that inbounds three that just from half court to basically win the game. My memory of Reggie Miller that's not like that is – remember Reggie wore the reddish glasses against the Hawks in that series because of his eye injury?
That's what I was going to say against the Atlanta Hawks, man. Didn't he come out there with that crazy Superman t-shirt on?
Yeah, he did.
Because
yeah.
at that time, man, if anybody want to shade any team, you can't really shade the Hawks, man. The Hawks go through their times where they terrible, but they're always pretty good. And that was the Hawks with Mookie Blaylock and Mutombo. And Steve Smith, I do believe.
I think we lost that series too, didn't we?
That would be tail end. Like,
wasn't
yeah,
it 97? We lost that.
He came out. He came out valiantly, though, man.
Yeah, we lost 3-2 against the Hawks in that series. Yeah, Steve Smith, Mookie Blaylock, Christian Laettner, Grant Long, Stacey Augmon, Craig Elo, Alan Henderson, Sean Rooks, Matt Bullard, and Reggie Jordan. Was the squad.
Yeah, man, that team got after it right there, man. But, like, Reggie
shout out to Pacers. Ricky Pierce played for the Pacers that year.
The former homie came on to the show 2 years
yep.
ago. Yeah,
started four games for the Pacers in the playoffs. Reggie only played one game in that playoff series we lost. Averaged.
Did that when he got hurt? But I'm talking about that season. He lit it up that season, though. Because he got poked in the eye. That's why he was wearing the glasses.
Yeah, he hurt himself in the eye. So that season, what year was that playoff? That was 96. So that would have been 95, 96. That season, Reggie Miller was averaging. Yeah, I guess you could say he was somewhat lighting it up. I mean, he had 1,600 points. So he was averaging 22 a game. So I don't know about lighting it up, but he averaged 21 points a game, 21-1. Who was the high? Ario, here's a trivia question. Who was the highest paid Pacer that year?
Oh, that had to be Jalen Rose. Wasn't Isaiah Thomas was the coach there?
Jalen wasn't on the team that time, 95-96.
95. He wasn't the highest paid? It wasn't Reggie?
Nope. He was third highest. Rick Smits was second. He made 3.7.
Wow.
Reggie was 3.2.
Wow.
Rick Smits was 3.7. This guy, this cool cat, was coming in at 4.0. $4 million.
Gary McKee. Dale Davis. Oh, wow. From Austin.
Dale Davis had the highest salary that year.
Wow.
Last trivia question for you. What team did Dale Davis end his NBA career with?
Was it Detroit?
You got it. It was the Pistons in 2007.
I do believe, man.
He played 46 games. He did have a one-year stint back with the Pacers in 2004-2005. Played 25 games. But, yeah, ended with Detroit. I would have not got that. So I'm proud of you got that. You held up the integrity of this show.
Wasn't Trace born in 2006?
Probably the comeback. That's probably what. So he has to be drafted by the Pacers to make a full circle, right?
Absolutely. Second round.
So, absolutely. So that was good. Good trivia with John. Still no ED update, so we'll see. John, I'll let you kind of take us out, my man. We had a good show. And, yeah, as always, another great show.
Man, we had a wonderful show, man. I love the – we had a lot of people comment on the Facebook Live. Appreciate the homie Justin Fox from the Epic podcast chiming in, man. After we get off, man, I suggest everybody go over there and listen to them, man. But I know, I mean, we had a great show tonight, man. We got to learn a lot more about the Indianapolis 500. I know at some point, man, they're going to start blocking it out, Brandon. They got to, man. It just doesn't make sense. For some people, man, it just doesn't make sense for you to move everything to go down there. So,
yep.
Like, you're going to have to make it accessible. You're going to have to make it accessible for people at home to watch it on their TV or on their tablet, man, because that's the way the world, like, young people like watching stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad the numbers were up. As far as viewership, I'm glad the numbers were up. You know what I'm saying? We still ain't seen them. But, like, from what you said from the crowd, like, it's still a spectacle to see, man. But, you know, again, another great moment kind of covered here on Crossroads Sports, man. We'll be back. Me and Brandon Reap will be back next week, Wednesday, bigger and better than ever, talking some more sports. We'll deep dive more. Probably, I know the NFL is going crazy, man, because it's like 100 more days left until kickoff. So we'll probably, you know what I'm saying, chime into more of that. You know what I'm saying? We'll get to see some reports back from there. We'll have more NBA as the playoffs.
Oh,
as the final
by the way.
As the finals begin. Go ahead, Brandon.
By the way, I put on Twitter today what I picked up today, John. The research and the studying starts early. The College Football Magazine is out. So.
Oh, my God.
I'm starting to dive into it tonight a little bit.
Dive into Nick Saban politicking already for Alabama to get some more money.
What about what I told you?
It's going to sound like he's crying. It sounds like he's crying. He's not crying. He just knows now he got boosters like Texas in his backyard now. And I'm not saying they wasn't in his backyard. They always go after each other's players. But, like, now you got people in Texas looking at seeing, like, how Alabama really does things. And how LSU really do things. And, like, man, now it's going to be tough for them to get players, man. But, like, he's just asking for checks. But, like, man.
Your boys are back, too. Colorado might be going back to the Big 12.
It needs to happen, man. Take Nebraska with you.
Oh. Oh.
That's what I say, man.
So, college football's come back. I can't wait to start talking college football again.
Yeah. Nah, me too, man. I love the drama and the politics of it, man, because I don't know if the big Pac-12 is going to make it after this year, y'all. But, again, that's going to be another time for another show, man. It's been a great time talking with y'all, man. We'll try to do it bigger, better than ever next time, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.